Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them exactly the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. Somebody say, After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it arose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed on coming to the house. They saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Father, I pray that you bless the reading of your word to our hearts here this morning. Lord, I pray that you would remove all distractions and that we would focus in upon your voice here this morning. Lord, let us hear the voice behind the voice and have your way this morning. We love you in Jesus' name, everybody says.
Amen. Amen.
The Magi. They were men from the east. They came from the east side of Jerusalem. Some say it was from the area of Babylon. They came all the way from Babylon. Some people say that they could have been from Jewish descent, from some of the Jews that stayed in Babylon from the exile. When we study the Old Testament, we see that the children of Israel were taken into exile into Babylon. And the reason why God allowed that was because of their disobedience, because of their rebellion, because of their constant backsliding, that the children of Israel constantly, their hearts were turned away from God. And because of that, God would punish them. God would correct them. God would chastise them. And one of the ways he did it is that he took them into exile. He took them into captivity, into Babylon, into another country that was more powerful than them. When this country came to their country and says, all right, this is it. You guys, we're going to take over your country. And what we want you to do is we're going to bring all you guys into our country.
Yeah.
Tradition calls these Magi the wise men.
Come on.
Sometimes they're known as the three wise men or the three kings. That's what tradition calls them. Now, some say there were three because of the three gifts mentioned. But in reality, it wasn't just three that came to worship the child. But it was a whole entourage that came.
Come on.
It had to be a whole entourage to be able to cause a stir in all Israel.
Right.
When they walked into Jerusalem, they were a noticeable crowd. It was almost like an army that they seen coming to Jerusalem. And I'm sure that the king of Jerusalem and Herod and the people, they probably thought that they were coming to conquer them. So in reality, it wasn't just three that came, but they came in as a whole entourage. This is why it caused a stir in Jerusalem. This is why it caused a stir, because they're like, who's that coming?
Come on.
It's like if all of a sudden, you know, 100 people walked into the church at one time.
Wow.
Everybody would be like, I mean, we'd be happy, but we would be like, hey, where they come from, right?
Wow.
Huh? Yeah. Caused a stir. And then the Bible says that they were carrying expensive gifts.
Wow.
They were expensive gifts. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These were gifts that were expensive. These men also were also considered dignitaries. Some called them kings. So they would have, let me tell you something, they would have had a lot of bodyguards to protect them. They would have had a lot of bodyguards to protect them, not only them, but their expensive gifts that they were bearing. So it just wasn't three wise men that came, or three men in turbans and looked like blankets, so, you know, coming into Israel, Jerusalem. It wasn't just three, it was a whole entourage.
Come on.
Huh? It's a whole entourage that came in. It's like how when Victor Irish Grand Perry is going to step into heaven.
Come on, somebody.
A whole entourage. I don't know about you, but I want to take a whole entourage into heaven. I don't want to show up to heaven by myself, but I want a whole entourage to be following me. I don't want to just be me and my family, but I want to bring a whole entourage and say, Jesus, I multiplied my talent. You gave me one, hello somebody, but I brought 50. I brought 100. I brought 200. I brought 300. I brought 1,000. These men, these wise men, they believed in prophecy. They believed in prophecy. They were students of not only the stars. Some people call them astrologers, astronomers. But they just didn't study the stars.
Come on now.
They also studied prophecy. Remember, some people say that these men could have been some of the Jews that stayed in Babylon. Because eventually the Jews came back. God restored them, and they came back, and a lot of them came back. This is where you see, where they were building the wall. Who was
that guy building the wall?
Nehemiah. He came, and there were already Jews there. When did they come? And he says the walls were torn down. Why? Because that's when Babylon had conquered, and many after they took all the Jews.
Right.
And Jerusalem was left desolate.
Come on, Pastor.
And you know what happens to a desolate building, right?
Yeah. Come on, Pastor.
Break the windows out, spray paint it, knock down the walls.
Yeah.
Well, that was the case with Jerusalem.
Oh, come on.
It was like a broken down building. It was like an empty building. And the walls were torn down.
Yeah.
But Nehemiah, God put it in his heart to rebuild the walls.
That's right.
So Nehemiah came back with other Jews. There was already some Jews there. But then some Jews stayed in Babylon.
Come on. Jesus.
So some people say that these MAGA, they could have been descendants. They could have had Jewish descent inside of them. And because they had Jewish descent inside of them, guess what? They also studied the Bible. They also studied the Old Testament. They also studied the books of the law, Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus. They studied the books, and they seen the prophecies in those books.
Come on, Pastor.
They seen the prophecies of a soon coming king.
Yeah.
They seen the prophecies of Jesus Christ, because I'm here to tell you that you just don't see Jesus in the Gospels. You just don't see Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'm here to tell you that you can see Jesus in the whole Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. There are types and shadows of Christ. It's what you call the miracle of the scarlet thread. It's the blood of Jesus woven through Genesis into Deuteronomy, into Exodus, into Leviticus, into Numbers, into Joshua, into Nehemiah, all the way down into the Gospels and into Revelation. The blood of Jesus, types and shadows of Jesus, are in the whole Bible.
Yeah, that's right.
Because he's always been. He's the Alpha, the beginning, and the end. These men, they believed in prophecy. They were students not only of the stars, but of prophecy. We need those who believe in prophecy in our churches today.
Yes. Amen. Come on.
We as a ministry, Victory Outreach International, we are a prophetic ministry.
Right.
Why do I say that? Because God gave us Isaiah 45:2-3.
Yes. Come on.
Right.
That's right.
right.
When the ministry was barely beginning and Pastor Sonny were struggling to build the ministry, to build the church, Pastor Sonny was struggling in the ghettos, reaching the drug addicts, reaching the gang members, and they used to tell other pastors, used to tell Pastor Sonny, you can't build a ministry with people like that. You can't build a church with people like that. They ain't going to give in the offering. They're going to steal the offering.
Come on now.
They smoke too much PCP. Their brains are too fried. They'll make good congregants. Pastor Sonny said, no, no, no. God's going to raise these people up. God is going to raise the people that were nobodies. God is going to raise up the foolish things of the world. God specializes in taking a nobody and turning him into somebody. God specializes in taking those of the world, casting away, and turning their life around and doing a miracle and causing the world to look at them and say, there got to be a God. If he's preaching, there got to be a God. If he's doing what he's doing, there got to be a God. If she's doing what she's doing, oh, there's got to be a God in heaven that pours out his power on men. And here we are over 50 years later. God has given us the churches out of darkness. He gave us Isaiah 45, 2 and 3. I will give at that young stage in our ministry, God gave our ministry the promised verses, Isaiah 45, 2 and 3. I will go before you and will level the mountains. I will make the crooked places straight. I will give you the treasures out of darkness, riches stored in secret places. And then he didn't stop there. He also gave us Isaiah 54, 2 and 3. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you will stretch out to the left and to the right. Your descendants will inherit the nations and inhabit the desolate cities of the world. Listen, we are prophetic ministry. Here we are 50 years later, and those verses have came to pass. Those scriptures have came to pass. Why? Because it was spoken into existence. It was spoken by God. It was a prophecy given to us from heaven. This is why we're going to continue to launch churches. This is why we're going to continue to reach the treasures out of darkness. This is why we're going to build the church, because it is a promise. It is a promise that I am standing on. It is a promise that my wife is standing on. It is a promise that the leaders are standing on, baby. And we can take it to the bank and cash it.
That's right.
Come on, somebody.
We need those who believe in prophecy in our churches today. We need you to believe with us. What is prophecy? It is the function of the prophet. A prophet reveals messages from God. Basically, God's messenger. A prophet often foretells what is to come through divine revelation from God. That's what a prophet does. He delivers a message to us from God. Wow. And sometimes God will have us operate in the office of a prophet.
Amen.
I'm not a prophet. I'm a pastor.
Come on.
I'm a pastor. I shepherd God's people. But sometimes God will make me put on the office of a prophet.
Yes. Amen.
He'll make me put on the hat of a prophet. Amen. At times. I've done this so many times when counseling people. I counsel people, and sometimes people, you know, they're going through a hard time. They want to quit. They want to throw in the towel. They want to go back to the world. They want to jump back into sin. They want to jump back into their old ways. And, you know, I operate as a pastor. I shepherd them. I love them. I give them wisdom. I give them direction. But then when they don't want to hear it no more, and they're adamant about going back to the world, then it's at that time that says it's time for you to take off the hat of the pastor and put on the hat of the prophet and begin to prophesy. And I've done that at times. And all of a sudden, because I know they're going to go back to the world, God puts it in my spirit. And you got to tell them that if they go back to the world, death is waiting. If they go back to the world, prison is waiting. If they go back to the world, that coffin is waiting. If they go back to drugs, overdose is waiting.
That's right.
Some of you do the same thing.
Wow, come on.
Because it is obvious. The wages of sin is death. See, a prophet often foretells what is to come through divine revelation from God. Jesus' birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection were foretold through the Old Testament prophets. When you study the Old Testament, you see that there are so many verses and there's so many scriptures that foretold the virgin birth, that foretold he would die on the cross for our sins, that foretold the way he would live.
Right.
The sad thing about it is that those who were supposed to believe in these prophecies the most didn't. And the least likely did. The ones that were supposed to believe, the ones that were supposed to believe in the prophecies, wow, they didn't even care about the prophecies. Oh, wow. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law did not believe. They didn't even care. We see that the Magi came and they said, "We've seen his star." And they said, Oh, yeah. And they said, "We've seen his star, so we came here to the palace," because they thought because he was the king, he'd be in the palace. And so they came. And you figured they would be overjoyed when they heard the Magi say this. But they kind of brushed it off. And then they only paid attention to it when King Herod told them, "Hey, what is he talking about? I want you to tell me where this Messiah is to be born." They say, "We know exactly because we know the prophecies." These prophecies, they foretold of Christ. And the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they did not believe, they did not care about the law and the prophets who foretold of Christ, but yet these Magi's did. Did you know that Magi is where we get our word magician? It's where we get our word magician. And it was the least likely that believed in the prophecy. Sometimes it's like that in the church.
Come on now.
It's like the new person that comes in and they hear the preaching, they hear the vision, they hear the gospel. It's like they're broken and they bite hook, line, and sinker. They're moved to the altar and they're moved to it and they're all in it. But sometimes the church,
we got it. Come on.
When we hear the promises,
come on.
It's like it don't move us.
Wow.
It should always move us.
Yeah.
It should always excite us.
Yeah.
That he's a soon coming king.
Yeah.
He's going to come back in a twinkling of an eye.
Yeah.
Oh, we shall be raptured. Yeah. We shall be transformed.
Yeah.
Oh, we believe in those prophecies.
Wow.
If we do, we should expect them to come to pass.
Yeah, right.
The church needs to believe in prophecy.
Amen.
Not just in the word. Not just in word. In other words, we can't just say, "Oh yeah, I believe it in word. Yeah, I believe it." It's easy to say, "I believe it."
Yeah, right.
But we can't just believe it in word. We must believe it in deed.
Wow. Bring it down, Pastor.
Or in how we live and serve God.
Yes.
Anybody could say, "I believe." Yeah, I believe with your word. Jesus said, "They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." I just don't want to believe in word. I want to believe in how the way I live my life. I want to believe that he is the King of Kings, and he did die on the cross for my sins, and that he is going to come back for a church without spot or blemish. And so I just don't want to believe it with my lip service. I want to believe it as I walk out my convictions in everyday life. I want to believe it by living a holy life, because he said he's coming back for a church without spot or blemish. I want to believe it in my deeds and my actions. I want to believe it in the passion I have to reach people for the honor and glory of God. I want to believe it by making disciples of all nations. I want to believe it by raising up more leaders who will reproduce themselves to reach other people. Some people say, "Why do you talk about leadership so much?" Because I know it's through leaders that we're going to make an impact. I know it's through leaders that we're going to reach one by one. And we're going to produce one disciple and another disciple and another disciple. And you'll never know, we might reach that next Pastor Sonny or Billy Graham or Reinhard Bonnke, who passed away yesterday, but yet left his mark
on
the world. See, We need to believe in prophecy and how we live and serve God. You know why? Because prophecy moves us.
Amen.
That's right. That's right.
Prophecy moves us. Like it moved these Magi. Come on. There's four ways I want to show you that it moved these Magi. And four ways it should move us. Prophecy moves us, number one, closer to Christ. Prophecy moves us, number one, closer to Christ. The Magi had the mentality, a king alive is worth the camel ride. Now, I really don't know if they came on camels. I know you've seen the little Christmas card where it has the three wise men, the three kings on camels, following the star, right? But the Bible don't really teach that. I'm sorry to burst your bubble. I'm sorry to ruin your Christmas.
Come on,
but these Magi, they had the mentality of king alive because we seen a star. Oh, it's worth the camel rides. We here at VOGP, we say a church alive, a church alive is worth the drive. Come on, somebody. My sister-in-law drives all the way from Pleasant Grove to go to church. I know some people that come all the way from Denton to come to church. Come on, somebody. Then we got East Texas came all the way to come to church. See, a church alive is worth the drive. Why is that church alive? Not because of the pastor. Not because of the people. But because of Jesus in that pastor and in that people that make that church alive. I want you to know that you're alive today. You're not dead. You're alive. You know why you're not dead? Because my God is not dead. He's surely alive. And he's living on the inside. I said he's living on the inside. Working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Has there been a change in your life? It's because Jesus is alive in you. He's working in you. He's blessing you. He's stirring you up. He's changing your life around. Listen, I want you to know. I want you to know that if you're under attack as a Christian,
come on. We need this.
I want you to know that when you're under attack as a Christian, if you're not moved to get closer to God through prayer and worship and the word, see, the enemy attacks Christians and folks in the church. This is why some people are no longer here. Because they came under attack. Listen, if you're under attack as a Christian because and you're not moved to if you're not moved to get closer to God through prayer, through worship and the word, you're under spiritual attack.
Come on, Pastor.
If you're not moved to get closer to Christ through prayer, the word, worship, fasting, church attendance, if you're not moved to get closer to God in those manners, and you're a Christian, you're under a spiritual attack. If at one time you were passionate about prayer, you couldn't wait to get into the Word. You couldn't wait to get to church, to the altar.
Come on.
But now it's like there's no desire for you to be there. I want you to know, listen, nothing's wrong with the church. Listen, you're under attack.
Come on, Pastor.
Let me tell you something. You probably didn't even do anything. I mean, you did. You got the devil mad. This is why he came to your house. This is why he's attacking you. Just rejoice. And say, I'm flattered. That you see me a threat.
Amen.
But you know what? It don't matter. I'm still going to worship God. I'm still going to press in. Matter of fact, if you are under attack like that, you need to pray. You need to pray. Get thee behind me, Satan. I rebuke you, devil, in the name of Jesus, the name that is above all names. Just don't sit there and let the devil beat you up like some type of punching bag. Stand to your feet. Get into some prayer. Drop to your knees. Get into some fasting. Get into the word. Get to the altar. Get to the house of God and say, devil, you have no authority in my life. Prophecy moves you to get closer to God. When you live in the prophetic, you're moved. You're moved to prayer. You're moved to the word. You're moved to the house of God. You're moved to the things of God. Because prophecy moves you to get closer to Christ. What do you do when this happens? Don't shy away from God and the things of God. But lean into. I said lean into. Lean into the things of God. Lean into prayer. Oh, begin to go into some spiritual warfare. Oh, come on, make war on the floor. Lean into the things of God. My pastor always told us, how do you know if a decision you're making is the godly one? He would say, if that decision gets you closer to God, then it's God. But if that decision gets you farther away from God, it is the devil. And it is your flesh. Because a lot of times it ain't the devil, it's your flesh. Huh?
Be real.
Come on, somebody. Does that decision you're going to make, is it going to get you closer to God? Don't tell me fornication is going to get you closer to God. Don't tell me going to that party, that bar is going to get you closer to God. Don't tell me that go taking that job is good. Come on, somebody's going to get you closer to God. You're going to miss all kinds of church. You got to base your decision. Is this decision going to get me closer to God?
Wow, come on now. That's heavy.
Listen, in order to survive saved in this world, we must be constantly getting closer and closer to God. In order to survive saved in this world, we must be constantly getting closer and closer to God. I know sometimes it's like we take 2 steps forward and 3 steps backwards. I've been fighting this fight for 19 years, and I've been there. I've taken 5 steps forward and then 2 steps backwards. Oh, but I've learned to take 6 more steps forward. I learned to stay in forward motion. I've learned not to give up, not to give in. There's been some times I've made some bad decisions. I'm not a saint. I got flesh just like you and you do. I gotta fight the flesh. I gotta fight temptation. I've been wrong. Come on, somebody. But I learned to dust myself off and get back in the game. Get back in there with God. I'm talking to some Christians this morning that are ready to get back in there with God.
Come on now.
And don't tell me you're close to God already. Because God is constantly moving. And it's not easy to keep up with him. Study the life of Jesus. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he was always on the go. The crowd couldn't even keep up to him. He would wake up. The disciples would wake up and Jesus was already up praying. He was ghost. Come on, somebody. The disciples would wake up and like, where'd Jesus go? Where'd Jesus go? Hey, Peter, where'd Jesus go? John, Judas, Jesus disappeared again. Where did he go? Peter said, he probably went to the mountain again and prayed. Leave me alone, I'm going to go back to sleep. Jesus was hard to keep up with. It's like Pastor Sonny. My God, it's hard to keep up with him. I mean, he's in Panama, then he's in South Africa, then he's in London. You know, pretty soon we'll see him in Alaska. He is all over the world, and he's 80 years old. Huh? It's hard to keep up with Jesus. Don't tell me that you're close to him. Listen, in order to stay close to him, you got to constantly be moving with him. This is why the Bible says, stay in step with the Spirit. Hello, somebody. Stay in step with the Spirit. Do not fulfill the desires of the flesh, but stay in step with the Spirit of God.
There it is.
Pastor Sonny said, the vision would drag you.
Wow.
The vision would drag you.
Wow.
If you don't keep up.
Yep. Wow. It's true.
Sometimes, listen, Magali, I'm going to tell you that. Where you at, sister? Where you at? Somewhere she disappeared. Hello, somebody. She can be a woman's home director. The home will drag you, sister. I've seen the home dragging Jose. I've seen the home dragging Josh. Pastor Josh.
Come on now.
The church has dragged me a couple times.
Come on now.
We're doing all kinds of stuff.
Right.
Huh? We gotta keep in step. We gotta stay close to God.
Right.
Huh? Church. Move closer to God this Christmas.
Amen.
Move closer to God this Christmas.
Yes,
huh? Get closer to God this Christmas. It's not a time to get farther away from God.
Amen.
It's time to get closer to God.
Yes,
you know, the sad thing about it, the worship team can come up. I'm going to have to preach part two next week. But the sad thing is this. Some Christians will move closer to their family this Christmas.
Wow. Come on. Let's be real.
But the wise Christians will move closer to Jesus.
Yeah.
And in so doing, they will move their families closer to Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Come on. Right. Yeah. That's right,
Pastor. Let me say that one more time.
Amen.
Some Christians will move closer to their family this Christmas, mm-hmm. but the wise Christians will move closer to Jesus.
That's right.
And in so doing, they will move their families closer to Jesus.
Amen.
They will move their families closer
Amen.
To salvation.
Amen.
They'll move their families closer.
Yes.
You know, when I first came into the home, I came in alone.
Come on, Pastor.
When I first came to God, I came alone.
Come on, Pastor.
We grew up Catholic, nothing against Catholics. Love. They're my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. But when I decided to give my life to Jesus, I remember my mom would drop me off sometimes at a church that I was going to. But I didn't have a ride home. And it was a big church. Mega church, if I tell you the name, you know it. It was when I first got saved. But you know, I had burned a lot of bridges. And I didn't need a lot of people around me because I was on the run from the police. And I remember coming to God, and I remember going to church and sitting there by myself and hearing the message and hearing the preaching. And God began to move in my heart. And I remember that one time when I finally went to the altar. I had been giving my life to Jesus over and over every day because I'd be watching TVN, the television preachers. And I remember I'd watch it when nobody was around because I was embarrassed. I was trying to hide, right? I was like Nicodemus. But every time that preacher would say that prayer, they would say, repeat this prayer. I'd begin to repeat that prayer. And I didn't know if I was really saved, so every time I seen a preacher, I just would say the prayer. But I remember going to the church, and I remember when I heard the pastor preach, and all of a sudden I remember going down that aisle. I went down that aisle by myself. And I felt the power of the Holy Ghost. And I felt scales come off my eyes. And then I remember having a powerful church service, a powerful altar call, and then they dismissed the service. And then during the service, it was great because we're all there, you know, they're worshiping. I'm new to worship. You know, I don't like, do I raise my hands or not raise my hands? I'm like, where's the police around here? They want us to raise our hands. That's what I thought. But I remember when they would dismiss the service, it was an all black church. It was hardly any other. There was like a lot of blacks, I remember. But I was there. Like, they stuck out like a sore thumb, you know, but I felt the power of God. And I remember when they would dismiss the service, I would walk out, and I remember walking out that church. I said, man, I ain't got to ride home.
it's a long walk. And I'd be back there, and I'd be in the foyer just kind of standing, just kind of like looking around, you know. But I was glad I went to church.
That's right.
There'd be times I just sat there, and I was kind of, you know, I was a gangster, man, before. So I had a lot of pride, you know. So I didn't like this, I didn't like, I used to have a vehicle. I used to have a vehicle, but I sold my vehicle because I was on the run, and I didn't want to get pulled over, so I sold it. And I remember not having a vehicle, and so I was embarrassed for people to see me walking. Because it wasn't a street. I had to walk down the highway.
Yeah.
And so I would wait till everybody left. I'd try to wait till everybody leave. So they wouldn't see me walking. And I just start walking, man, by myself. It was a lonely time.
That's right.
Like, I had my daughters, but I had to turn them over to my family, to my parents. I couldn't raise them, I was on the run. And I was on the run this whole time by myself. I remember turning myself in. I had to turn myself in. Nobody could go with me behind those bars. I'm a Christian now. I can't claim my set no more. I can't say I'm an Oak Cliff homeboy no more. I'm a Christian now. I put down the rag. I used to carry a red rag. I put down the red rag. I stopped throwing gang signs. I couldn't go in there and say, hey, you know, I'm a blast. You know what I'm talking about? Homies, I'm a blast. I couldn't blast no more. I had to go in there solo. But I knew I wasn't by myself. I knew God was with me. I started to learn that God was with me. I did my time in prison. I got out of prison and God said, you need to go to the Victory Outreach Men's Home. To the Victory Outreach Men's Home. That's why I'm grateful for our homes.
Yes.
This is why we will always have a men's home. We will always have a women's home. Even if me and my wife gotta go in there and run it ourselves. I don't want to say that, but because the home worked for me. And I don't forget where I come from. Some people forget where they come from. Some people, they get saved at Victory Outreach, and you know what happens? They get a little head knowledge. They say, oh, you know what, I need to go to a better church. I need to go to a church. There's too many drug addicts there. There's too many, you know, they're those people, they're high maintenance.
Come on now.
So, man, don't forget where you came from.
That's right. Come
on now. I never forget where I came from. You know how you don't forget where you came from? You need to visit where you came from. And not to hang out, but to evangelize. To preach.
Good stuff.
But let me end this. Listen, I remember going into that home by myself again. I was a Christian. A lot of my family, they weren't Christian. But I did my year in that home. I graduated that home.
Yeah.
I didn't have a lot of family. My parents would come sometimes. They'd bring my daughters. You know, when I graduated the home, they started to come bring them more. I could have got out and said, man, I got a responsibility to go be in them girls' lives. But I knew I had to obey God.
That's right.
I knew God had a purpose. So I had to listen to God, and I'm glad I did.
Right.
And I learned this. I said, you know what? I may love it by myself, but it's not going to always be like this.
Amen.
Sometimes you got to stand alone.
Yes. Yes.
Sometimes you gotta stop. I remember even being in the home during the holidays.
Yes.
And I would go, can I go visit my family? No, but I didn't really say that. My family would say, can you come? Will they let you come for Christmas or Thanksgiving? And then I knew the policy. The policy was nobody can go home for the holidays. You know why? Because there's a lot of other men, a lot of other women in that home that don't have family. And if everybody that has family leaves the home, that poor person stays at the home by himself.
Yeah. Come on.
That's not that. Come on, somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
We're a family to those that don't have families. We're a family to those that don't have families. And I tell the directors and I tell the guys in the home, listen, I know you got family. They can come visit you on your holidays, but you got to stay here.
Right.
Because think about the guys that don't got family. Think about the girls that don't got family. And I remember saying that. I remember being in the home again, just holidays. But I remember my family coming, my grandma coming. And it was a blessing for them to see me there. But I had to be there.
Right.
Even when I graduated to home, my pastor said, run the second phase. That's where the people that graduate to home go have a place they can start working, and we can hold each other accountable and stay on the right track.
Right.
We built another little family right there with those guys. Wherever I went, they went. If I went to a Christmas holiday, they went with me. I remember a lot of times bringing them with me because they didn't have family.
Come on.
And they would come over to my house, to my family, and they would be with me. And then my family would be like, who are these people? I mean, and they felt it too, amen. I mean, they would break stuff. One time, man, one of the guys, you know, my family's not really saved. One of my family, they had a bar. That brother kicked the bar and broke everything in the bar. I looked at my family, they were just like, bite their tongues. But I close with this. Listen, you know what God has done? Because I've learned to stay close to Christ even during the holidays. God has brought my family into the house of God.
Yes.
My wife, my children. I never thought my dad would be coming to church. He's faithful.
Right.
That's faithful Sunday.
Amen.
He comes. Because as you move closer to Christ, husband, and I want to preach on Joseph and Mary. I wish I could have finished this because I wanted to do that next week, but maybe the following week I'm going to do that. Because listen, I believe it's so important that as a married couple, you stay close to Christ and you learn to serve Christ together. Because if you could do that, your children will follow.
That's right.
But you as an individual, whether you're married or not, move closer to Christ this Christmas.
That's good.
Move closer to Christ.
That's good.
And in so doing, you're going to move other people closer to Christ. I don't know how, I don't know when, I don't know where. I just know that he's did it for me, he's done it for many other people. And he'll do it for you too. And the best gift you can give to anybody, it's not what's under the tree, but it's who hung on the tree. That's the best gift.
Yes, yes.
Amen to you. Stand to your feet here this morning. Move closer to Christ. Don't distance yourself from Christ. Am I saying not to go to the family outing? No, you go. Go. But make sure you pray before you go. Make sure you keep your testimony when you're there. When they're drinking that eggnog, come on somebody.
Yes.
That's spiked. Smell it before you drink it.
Come on.
Because people are watching you. Your family's watching you. If you're close to Christ, you'll have a conviction to stay away from sin and any appearance of sin. And you know what? Your cousin's going to watch you. Your Theo's going to watch you. Your brother's going to be watching you. And they're going to see you still have the joy of the Lord. And so why are you so happy and you're not drinking and you're not smoking weed and you're not dancing? And why are you so happy? Oh, let me tell you, I'm glad you asked. I'm glad you asked, because that's another thing that happened to the Magi. It says when they seen Jesus, they were overjoyed. This is why Christmas is the time of joy.
Yes.
We're overjoyed that our Savior was born into the world.
Yes.
To save sinners like you and I.
Yes.
So move closer to Christ this Christmas. Remember, you're a prophetic people. There's a prophetic word over your life. If you don't get anything, get this. There's a prophetic word over your life. You're that treasure out of darkness. You're those riches stored in secret places. You're the ones that are going to bring growth to the kingdom of God. You're that one. Live out that word. Lift your hands to the Lord. Father, we thank you. We worship you. We praise your holy name, God. Lord, you're worthy this morning. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the birth of Christ. We thank you, Lord, for your word that is so rich and so powerful, sharper than any double-edged sword. We thank you for your word that brings conviction through the Holy Spirit. Father, this morning, God, you have spoken, Jesus. Your word has gone out, and it will not come back void.
You said you watch over your word to fulfill it. I pray, Father, for that prophetic word that has gone out over your people, God, that it would come to pass upon their family, upon their marriage, upon their children. I don't care how bad their children start to act up. Let the parents stand upon the promises of God. I don't care how bad the situation begins to look. Let them stand upon your word, Father. Because your promises are yes, yes, and amen. Move us closer to you this Christmas. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just worship him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This morning, if God spoke to your hearts, I want you to come to these altars. You're moved. You're moved by the prophetic word, the promise of the Messiah. That means you're moved by every word. You're moved by every word of prophecy found in Scripture. You believe it, not just with your word, but indeed, you're going to live it out. You're going to walk it out. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, move closer to Christ. If you want to get closer to God, if you want to move closer to Jesus, then I encourage you to come to these altars. There's nothing special, nothing spooky, nothing... No, it's just that it's a step of faith. It's symbolic to say, you know what? I'm getting closer to you, God. I'm not going to stay away. I'm not going to shy away. The enemy's been attacking me. He's been trying to keep me away. I've been having a hard time praying, reading, coming to church, worshiping. Oh, but I've made a decision today to move closer. Oh, I'm coming closer. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, you're worthy, God.
With all eternity. With all eternity.
Lift your hands and worship Him.
Oh,
the presence of the Lord is here.
My
surrender it all.
Surrender it all.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, you're worthy. You're so worthy. You're so worthy. Who was closer to you? Who was closer to you? If you're here this morning, you're not saved. Maybe you feel far away from God. You came in here feeling far away from God. But today you're making a decision to come closer. To come closer to Him. You want to surrender your heart to God this morning. If that's you, I want to pray for you. I want to lead you in the prayer of salvation. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. Anybody here? God bless you. 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 If you see a hand raised, leaders, will you go pray with them? You see somebody's hand raised next to you, pray with them. I want you to repeat this prayer. It's called the sinner's prayer. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. Say this prayer. Say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God, that you died on the cross for my sins, and on the third day you resurrected from the dead. Jesus, come live inside my heart. Forgive me of all my sins and resurrect me, because I've been spiritually dead, but make me alive in Christ Jesus. Thank you for dying for me, for shedding your blood for me, for forgiving me of all my sins. I believe you're alive and you're living in me. And I give you thanks for saving me. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. Come on, give the Lord some praise in this morning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. What a beautiful, beautiful presence of the Lord that we experienced this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Give somebody a hug right there next to you. Amen. Guy with the guy. Amen. Girl with the girl. Amen. And we want to thank you for coming out this morning. Were you blessed this morning? We had a power-packed service. Amen. Praise the Lord. Tonight we have Life Flow at 6 p.m. Amen. So if you're in the Life Flow, you want to join the Life Flow, come on out tonight at 6. Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't forget, Tuesday we have Life Groups. Amen. Praise the Lord. Friday night we have our Fired Up Friday Night service. Amen. Praise the Lord. And Brother Alex from the UTC West Coast is coming back. So he's going to be giving a short word next Friday, testifying. So come on out and hear what God has been doing in his life. Amen. Next Sunday, we'll be here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'll be finishing up this message. So come to the house of the Lord. Amen. Also, you can feel free to take pictures in our new little picture wall over there. Amen. If you want to take a picture with your family, your wife. Amen. Take a Christmas holiday picture. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, we thank you for being here with us this morning. Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you are dismissed. God bless you. We have Matt.